Next Level Sketch. Next Level Sketch. Next Level Sketch. Next Level Sketch.
Well, hello there, Next Level Sketchers. This is James Walsh from the Next Level Sketch Collective, and you're listening to episode 12 of the Next Level Sketch podcast, or as the hipsters and cool kids call it, season 2, episode 2. Next Level Sketch is affiliated with Hoopla Impro. When lockdowns and COVID things aren't happening, we do a monthly live show at the Miller in London Bridge. However, when we're not allowed to do that, we make podcast episodes with sketches in them, and you're listening to one of those right now. Ah, it's a very emotional day in Next Level Sketch Towers, because today is a year to the day since we set up our Twitter account and posted our first ever tweet. And that was the moment we knew that we had to make our sketch dreams a reality, because there's no room for lies on Twitter. If you did want to contact us, you can at Next Level Sketch on aforementioned Twitter. We don't know what the at sign stands for. We also have a website at nextlevelsketch.com. We don't know what the dot stands for. And our email address is nextlevelsketch@gmail.com. We don't know what Gmail stands for. Talking of email, we have received a couple since our last episode. One is from someone called Sonia Cadaver Smith, who asks, "What happened to that nice Paul Creasy who hosted the first 10 episodes? What about that nice Maureen Kelly who did episode 11? Well, Sonia, Paul Creasy is more of a myth than a man, and Mirren will be back as soon as we definitely learn how to pronounce her name properly. We did receive one other missive from one Peloton Grundy of Westwood Ho, who asks, "If you must stand in for Paul, could you at least do that cute little noise he makes when saying, 'Here's episode whatever'?" Well, Peloton, here's episode 12. Hello?
Oh, hello. Just to let you know, you've qualified for Universal Credit.
Yay! I'm off to Florida!
No, I don't think you understand. This just means you get a basic
payment of about £400 a month. I know.
Yes, and in return you promise to
spend 35 hours a week going on awesome rides at Universal Studios!
No, it's...
I know, it's not Disneyland, but I understand that these are tough times. But Universal Studios is pretty good. I hope they're still that Jaws ride.
Look! I'm sorry, but you absolutely cannot travel to Florida and spend your money at a theme park. You're unemployed.
Oh, God, you're absolutely right. What was I thinking? I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
So, I guess it's just Thorpe Park.
That's it. You're being sanctioned.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Chessington. We've got another slacker for your world of adventures.
All right, so Mark Stevens. What did we think of him?
I don't know. He seems to have a solid plan for the team, but his personal skills could use some work.
Yeah, and I would have liked to have seen a bit more enthusiasm. What do you think, Charles?
Such a beefy boy.
Right. Do you mean that his plans had a lot of substance, or...?
Just a meaty slab in a suit. Marvellous.
Okay, maybe we'll move on from Mark Stevens. What do we think of Colin Stanley?
Oh, very impressive. I could immediately tell that he'd be an outstanding department lead.
Sorry, Charles, did you want to come in?
So scrawny! What is this department coming to? There's barely any beef on him at all.
Sorry, Charles, I actually haven't seen you around the office before. Can I ask who put you on this panel?
No.
I just have to say that I don't like you commenting on the interviewee's appearance like this.
I don't see why. I merely have a well-documented preference for beefy boys.
Charles, we need you to keep your romantic thoughts to yourself.
Romantic? Romantic? I simply appreciate artistic perfection. Could you ignore the Sistine Chapel ceiling? I cannot ignore a boy who simply swims with beef.
Look, Charles, this department has changed a lot in the past few years. We had to stop your hiring practices in 2008 because we were exclusively employing men who were too wide to fit through our doors.
Let's just try to discuss the candidates on their merits.
Okay, so, David Rochester.
Please don't.
Just need some string.
It's a very flattering picture.
Like a butcher shop window.
He's lit very well from the back.
Stay salty, you beefy boy.
All right, I don't think we're going to finish today. Let's reconvene tomorrow when Charles is feeling better.
Oh, that won't be necessary. I've had a wonderful time. Goodbye.
Hello, and welcome to Don't Pay For That, the show that helps consumers make better choices by busting marketing myths. We've previously shown that you don't actually need breakfast if you wake up at lunchtime, and that you don't need shampoo if you make people stand at a distance. This week, we take on the myth of drinking water. Water. Do we really need it? Or is it a myth perpetuated by the water companies? Greg, I read that 60% of our body is already made up of water, yet the experts say we need it every day, which doesn't make sense. Dave, I've read that 90% of water we drink is passed out as urine. We don't even bloody use it. We asked a GP to confirm if you actually need water. Here's what he had to say.
Who let you in here?
Here in the tall trees found in the rainforests of Brazil, a family of three-toed sloths are preparing for a new set of curtains. The sloths race around excitedly. One of them has a catalogue. Meanwhile, the older sloth looks under a clump of grass on the ground. The older sloth has found the measuring tape, carefully concealed from predators after the last time they bought curtains. Now, the younger sloths measure the windows to establish the width and the drop. One of them makes changes to a diagram. They measure and write down measurements. Care is taken not to upset the pot plant. Oh, there it goes. They know that the curtains will need to be 2 to 3 times the length of the window. Now, the older sloth tries to decide on a style. Should it be box pleat or eyelet? Whatever it is, it has got to outshine the 2-toed sloths. Now, the sloths all join in with suggestions. What about a flowery pattern? Why not beige? Whatever they choose, the next stage is even more tricky. Phoning John Lewis. Me? Really? Okay. They've asked me to call John Lewis for them. Apparently last time, they accidentally ordered taffeta.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just go home together? When we're there, I'll turn the lights down low and we'll listen to Next Level Sketch.
I'm so excited. I've always wanted to do a murder mystery party. Oh, and Great Up Manor is the perfect location.
Me too. I've heard they put so much planning and detail into this.
Oh, you heard right. I came here for an 80s disco party last New Year's, and it was amazing. I was finding sequins in my hair for months.
Ah! Here we go.
Good evening, and welcome to London's most realistic murder mystery experience and dinner. I'm Detective Crankshank. It seems there's been a homicide at the manor. Lady Illingsworth has been murdered in a most brutal fashion, and I need your help in cracking the case.
Right, you. I need you to go through this stack of papers.
Hunting for clues right away? Don't you need to give us our characters first? I wonder what we'll be. Maybe I'll be the vengeful ex-lover with a mysterious past. Or the reporter in search of a sensational splash.
What the hell are you talking about? Go through these phone records and circle every call from a number ending in 739 between now and the 21st of February.
Oh, I see. It's a code.
It's not code. Look. I need these phone records searched, and I need them searched now. So get on with it.
Maybe this is part of your character's backstory. Just go with it.
Now, there are three theories about who may have committed this murder. First, there's Eleanor Illingsworth, our victim's estranged sister. They'd not seen each other for years until she dropped in unannounced earlier this morning. Then there's Mr. Marshall, Ms. Illingsworth's financial advisor. Lady Illingsworth had heard rumours he was pocketing her profits and was planning to confront him. Finally, there's Billy Blackguard, well known to the authorities and recently released from prison after serving 12 years for manslaughter.
Oh, could be any of them.
Nah, you idiot. It's probably the guy with a criminal record and the long history of violence against women. Nah, somebody needs to notify the next of kin.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Oh, look, there's a bottle of wine over there. I would murder a glass of wine right now. Get it? Murder.
That's tampering with the evidence. You could be charged with perverting the course of justice.
I bet this dinner will be to die for.
You three. Kitchen. Now, who's ready to examine the body?
Who's ready for a crime scene selfie?
Get me holding the knife.
That's it. You're off the case.
Mermaids, Ursula the Sea Witch here. Are you tired of sitting on a rock and luring sailors to their deaths? Dreaming of heads, shoulders, and knees and toes? Fallen for an opportunistic landlubber? Sorry, prince. Then dive on in to Ursula the Sea Witch's 24/7 leg emporium. Slender, stumpy, bare, hirsute, veined, broken, I've got them all. And you won't believe your eyes when you see the bargains in my discount rickets bucket. So if that one glimpse of the surface has left you wanting more, take that step and don't delay. Visit Ursula the Sea Witch's 24/7 leg emporium today.
Terms and conditions apply. Tongue extraction is compulsory and irreversible. Ursula the Sea Witch's 24/7 leg emporium is not liable for a lifetime of agony of crippling knee, hip and joint pain, varicose veins, blisters, bruising, breakages, hair removal products, hosiery, footbed, pedicures, horn plasters of onions. Walking lessons not included. You will still smell a fish.
Hey! I saw your Instagram last night. Great painting.
Oh yeah, it's a hobby of mine, but my main passion is still chartered accountancy. Something about the endless rows of numbers really relaxes me.
It's funny, I was thinking about you the other day and I've been meaning to ask. Roberto's birthday's coming up and I would love it if you could make him a short expense report.
You know, normally I'd be happy to, but whenever you ask, it starts off as an expense report and it ends up as a full year's financial statement, including balance sheets.
Go on. It'll only take you 5 minutes and he'll love it.
Fine. An expense report, factoring in time for an audit, it'll cost about £60.
Ugh, why are you so difficult? I'll just get Julie to do it. She calculated our bill at Nando's last week. Reckon she'll do just as good a job. It's a shame too. Roberto is an influencer. You'd have gotten loads of exposure.
You know, not that I wouldn't be very happy with the exposure Roberto can generate when he shares my expense report, but it doesn't exactly pay the rent, does it? People need to learn to pay their chartered accountants.
The government is right about you lot. You do nothing for the economy.
I'm sick of this attitude. Chartered accountancy is a vanity degree. Anyone can do it. No value to society. You know, I'm taking the government's advice and retraining as something really valuable to society. I'm going to retrain as an artist.
And welcome to Vox Pop O'Clock, the hourly BBC feature in which we ask random people what they think about issues that are completely beyond their understanding.
That's right, Chris. Today we're outside the Asda in Dunstable and I've just seen a man with a cheap anorak and a vacant expression. Sir?
Hello.
What do you think of lockdown 2?
Well, as a senior virologist at Dunstable General Infirmary...
I'm sorry, we'll have to stop you there.
But...
Chris, over to you.
Thanks, Alex, and I'm here in Scunthorpe with an old woman with a dog and a pram. Tell me, old woman, do you think we're going to get a Brexit deal before the deadline?
As Christine Lagarde, president of the European Central Bank and former managing director of the International Monetary Fund, my view is that...
Oh, for God's sake. What are you doing in Scunthorpe? Back to you, Alex.
Thanks, Chris. And I'm just going to chat to this child wearing a I have no idea what's going on t-shirt.
My favourite show is Paw Patrol because the dogs drive trucks.
About whether fusion power will ever be the answer to our energy problems.
Well, actually, we did this in science.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you there because... oh!
Oh, God. I think I'm having a heart attack.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. What do I do? What do I do?
That's more like it.
Bullying is not cool. Fawns agrees. So if you are home secretary, please don't bully on.
That was a statement by the Next Level Sketch Gospel Community.
Sarah, I've sort of been meaning to say something to you for a while, and now really feels like the right time. The thing is, I like you a lot, and it feels like maybe we could be more than just friends. I know you've sort of got this thing going on with Rob. I don't know if that's going to last. It feels like it's not. I don't know if I'm reading that right. And don't get me wrong, I like Rob. I've known him for a long time. He's a good mate, but Sarah, you and I, we're 97% compatible. I know, I did a test on Facebook. I mean, it just feels like we've got loads in common. You know, you teach English. I love English. I'm brilliant at grammar. I did the BuzzFeed quiz. Only a genius can get more than 22 out of 25 on this fiendishly difficult grammar quiz. I got 25 out of 25. That's 100%. Rob, on the other hand, once gave me a birthday card with a spelling mistake in it. I would never let that happen. I've got loads of other great qualities as well. I'm a strong swimmer. I can comfortably swim 50 metres. I've got a certificate to prove it. It's on my wall at home. I can do butterfly. It's the hardest stroke. What I'm saying is, with me, Sarah, you'd never be in danger of drowning. Can Rob make the same guarantee? Probably not. And I know you and Rob spent that year travelling through South America together, and I'm sure that was great. But Sarah, we once went on a booze run to Aldi together. Just the two of us. Do you remember? We were at Dave's party. You wanted white wine. I wanted red. We compromised on rosé. Imagine what other adventures we could have together. Maybe we could start by going for a drink sometime. Just something to think about. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, so please join me in raising a glass to the happy couple, to Sarah and Rob.
Do you always fail at business presentations? Is Jenkins consistently getting 20% higher sales than you are? Do you worry that there is a boardroom coup with your name on it? Now, thanks to the SAS Business School, you can learn the skills that make the SAS what it is. Survive for a week in a river, breathing through a reed. Sneak across battle lines to gain intel about enemy troop strengths. Suffocate a man with your legs. I mean, that's it really. You'll have to work out how to apply it. Please note the SAS Business School does not guarantee that its lessons will be useful in a business context. Who dares wins?
Murder is a crime and may carry a life sentence. Your company policy may exclude violence.
All right, the studios finally give us the chance to make an original film. What ideas have you got?
My first one is kind of based on a fairy tale story, but with a modern twist. So check it out. Loads of fairy tale creatures get exiled. One day an ogre is befriended by a talkative donkey. They have to rescue a princess who's being guarded by a dragon.
Wait, isn't this just the plot of Shrek?
I mean, there are some similarities.
Let's try to be more original, okay? Mandy?
Picture this. A real love story for our times. There's this princess who has to marry this evil lord, but she gets rescued from a castle by a green ogre. Once she's been released, she's appalled by the ogre's...
Mandy, this is just Shrek from the princess's point of view.
What? It's a completely original...
Does the princess turn into an ogre too at the end, having learned a lesson about what beauty truly means?
You've been looking at my script!
Mandy, Shrek was a hugely successful motion picture in 2001. Let's try to be more original. Or at least don't exclusively pitch the plot of one CGI animated film.
Alright. How about this? A donkey sweet talks a dragon.
Kevin, that's still Shrek.
There's a marriage in a swamp with...
Shrek!
A princess tells a monster she loves him just the way he is.
Shrek 2!
A lord returns from the dead to kidnap a princess.
Shrek 4D!
An ogre wants to live as a princess?
Reverse Shrek! Ah!
I can't believe we're so unoriginal.
Don't worry. Let's forget about it for now. Hey, I've been writing a new song. Do you want to help with the lyrics?
Sure. Let's see. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play.
That's the song from Shrek!
Have I got news for you? It's not satire. It has ossified itself. Now it's idiots off of Twitter, making shock jocks of themselves.
That was an opinion in the folk vernacular by a member of Next Level Sketch.
Ah, the shopping. Did you remember the milk?
Oh, sorry.
It's fine, I'll just have my tea without milk.
I could always go into the parallel universe machine and get it from there.
Are you sure? It is quite a trivial thing. Is it really what the parallel universe machine is for?
I could just go in and get it, it's fine. There must be a timeline where I remembered the milk, so I could just get it from one of those.
I don't know if the instructions... Mary, you really don't need to... Oh, she's gone.
So, I got the milk, but also in that timeline, Chateau Lafitte 87 is really cheap, so I got some of that too.
3 crates of Chateau Lafitte 87? It's party time, baby! Mary, who is this person who's just appeared from the parallel universe machine? Why does she look just like you?
What did you take our milk for?
I forgot the milk when I did the shopping. Sorry.
It doesn't belong to you. You shouldn't take something that doesn't belong to you.
I can't tell which is which. You're identical.
I suppose you want the Chateau Lafitte 87 as well.
Nah, that's just plonk.
Oh my god, is that Leap Carmel 79?
Hello, I'm Chris Packham and welcome to Autumn Watch. Let's head straight over to our live cameras to see what they've picked up. Oh, just look at this little fellow. Barely the width of a human wrist, with a lovely little face that shines in the moonlight. And oh, look at his tiny hands, with one a little bit shorter than the other. What's incredible about these things is they've got an amazing internal chronometer. They know exactly what time it is, almost like clockwork. But sadly, these little fellas have been hunted for their leather straps, particularly the older one. And that's all we've got time for. We'll be back in March for Spring Watch, when we will be watching springs.
So, the good news is that everything on the latest scan looks fine. But as you're both here, I wondered if I could ask you a few questions related to some concerns about the pregnancy.
What kind of concerns?
Well, and I want to assure you this is no cause for panic, but based on some things you've said, I think you might be at high risk for what's known as a sitcom pregnancy.
Sorry, what kind of things?
For example, could you tell me again how you both met?
Well, I mean, it's a funny story, really. We lived in the same building and we kept running into each other.
But of course, I'd never had the nerve to ask her out.
Until finally he did, but by that time I was seeing someone else, and then after that relationship ended...
Then I was seeing someone.
And so for ages it seemed like it was never going to happen. Someone was always seeing someone else, or missing a vital phone call, or getting a job offer on the other side of the country, or getting completely the wrong impression from an overheard remark. But finally it did. And only 6 months later, we were married.
And those 6 months, were they fairly uneventful, just in general?
Well, it felt fairly routine. But then came the proposal, and all my plans for that fell apart. But it ended up very spontaneous and romantic. And then everything at the wedding. I remember lots of last-minute nerves and unavailable venues and embarrassing but heartwarming speeches.
Right, thank you. I think that's enough to confirm your high-risk case. Now, medically, a sitcom pregnancy is reasonably standard, but there can be issues with the delivery. You were planning to give birth in a hospital?
Yes. We have a bag all packed and the route planned out.
You should probably rethink that. I mean, a hospital birth is possible, but it will definitely involve going into labour at the worst possible time and then having to rush to the hospital via some wacky mode of transportation. Passenger seat of a bin lorry, that sort of thing. It's about 50-50 that you'll just end up giving birth in a lift or a tree or something. Phil, were you planning to be present?
Yes, of course.
Again, I'd say 50-50. You'll probably miss the message, then get stuck in traffic, then think you're going to miss the berth, but arrive just in time. Although, Catherine, if you think you might be inclined to call him really horrible things throughout the labour, then that does make it much more likely he'll be present.
But I mean, there will be an anaesthetic available.
Oh, certainly. But with sitcom pregnancies, we find it's most common to first refuse it, then demand all the drugs in a loud comedic scream later on.
Well, this is a lot to take in.
And it's understandable that you'd be concerned. But I want to assure you that all of this is very common, and most importantly, you and your child's health should be fine. Once it's all over, you can look forward to there being no mess whatsoever and someone handing you a blanket with your new, perfectly clean, 3-month-old baby.
Wait, what?
Episode 12 of the Next Level Sketch podcast featured sketches written by James Walsh, Paul Creasy, Shane Malone, Roderick Miller, Mirren Kelly, Zoe Brown, Nadine Bailey, Dan Smith and Ben Fortescue. The sketches were also performed by Rachel Kader, Jess Karifik, Vic Dry, Kitty Dry, Greg Davis, Dr. Ruth Martin, Ewan Brown, Manisha Patel, Cody Whittaker, Rebecca Diaz, Liv Long and Liam Brennan. The slots were played by Siamangs, which are a type of gibbon. The jingles were written by James Walsh and performed by James Walsh and Dr. Ruth Martin. The theme tune was written by James Walsh and performed by James Walsh and Rebecca Diaz. Bye!